Well, a few weeks ago, we were talking about the first commandment, how we're to love the Lord and those four areas. And the verse we were looking at was Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. And Mark 12, verse 30, it says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." And so, you know, we're looking at, in this verse, how deep the love of God has to permeate our being. You know, all of us, every area of us, has to cover our minds and our hearts, as we've looked at. But it also has to cover our soul. Now, that's kind of an interesting thought, of how we have to love the Lord with all of our soul. The soul we usually think of is that's love, right? That's where we love from, is the soul. And I just wanted to look at that with you this morning for a little bit, is how we are to love the Lord with all of our soul. Now, in the Old Testament, I was kind of surprised when I was studying this, is there's actually really one word used for soul throughout the Old Testament, mainly. At least that's what I saw in studying it. But it, you know, in one sense, our soul speaks of our eternal being, right? We understand that we have a, when we talk about us going to eternity, we say we have a soul, right? And we're going to go on into eternity and live forever. And that can be referenced by our soul. But the soul also speaks of, as it's described in Hebrew, as the seat of our emotions and our passions. You know, of our desires, of, you know, how we feel, you know, what we're, our emotions are at the time and how we react and such. And so we are to love the Lord with all of our soul. And, you know, we've talked about the thought life, right, that we have to honor the Lord and get a hold of our thoughts and take every thought captive. But really, what a lot of times a thought can get in, but it's not necessarily in our mind, it's in our soul that we're troubled, right? That we can struggle. That's where we struggle, is in our soul. And so, you know, it's in our feelings and our emotions. And, you know, so we need to learn to love the Lord with all of our soul. And, you know, the soul is really important. In fact, sometimes it's often misunderstood or overlooked, right, in Scripture, that we don't consider the soul as much. But as we study the Scriptures, you know, especially as I was studying it, you know, I just typed in soul and I was just like, how many of those great men and women of God would refer to their soul and the cry of their soul, and that Lord would preserve their soul and keep them? You know, it's kind of eye-opening. It's a really interesting study, but it's a part of us that can, and I'll just describe a few things, you know, a few areas as you see in the Scriptures. It's something that can be vexed. It can be troubled. It can be made heavy. It can be sorrowful. As David said, it can be cast down. We'll talk about that a little bit. But, you know, even as much as all of those negative things can happen, it can be restored. It can be refreshed, redeemed, comforted, preserved, satisfied. And it's those things that God wants to do in us. You know, we want the latter descriptions happening in our lives. But as we know, there's times when we go through the former, right? You know, we've all experienced those. Because one thing you realize is that the enemy is not just going to attack our mind, but he's after our soul in both senses of the word. He's after our eternal soul, but, you know, in order to get that, he wants to tap into and manipulate and destroy and cause trouble in our feelings, in our emotions, in our soul. Because he understands how important the soul is and the effect that it has in our lives, when he can tug at our heartstrings, so to speak, and turn us. And so he'll often try to attack our soul as well as our mind. You know, if he can get to our soul, he can get us discouraged and angry and upset and bitter, and then he has us, doesn't he? And the Lord really has to pull us up, you know, out of that to overcome. And so, you know, the enemy will often try to attack us in such a way, and this was often expressed so much, but I don't think by anyone more than King David, right? You read the Psalms and you just see that was the cry of his heart, you know, because the enemy was attacking him in the natural, but yet there was an effect. And let's read about that in Psalm 7, verses 1 and 2. And so here was David crying out to the Lord. In Psalm 7, verses 1 and 2. It says, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces where while there is none to deliver. You know, so David was facing an enemy, you know, it was trying to tear into his soul, trying to discourage him, trying to defeat him in his soul so that he would give up. You know, Lord, don't let them rend my soul like a lion. And of course, we know one of the names of the enemy is he's a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. And he wants to devour our soul. He wants to get us so that we're down in the dump, so to speak, because that's where he lives and that's where he can pull us down. You know, he wants to get our soul down there because then he'll have us. And so a big part of the battle for David, yes, he had a, you know, David's boss was seeking his life, right? Throwing javelins at him and trying to get him. But a big part of the battle was in David's soul, in his emotions, right? All the things and the turmoil he was experiencing. But that's where he met God and got the victory in that. But, you know, we want to understand that one of the battlegrounds in life is the soul. And, you know, it's amazing how even the Lord faced this. And you would think he is the Son of God, right? He is about to get the keys of hell and death and defeat Satan. But look at the fight he had. You know, he was crying out. And this, I wanted to look here at John chapter 12. Now, this is before he started on the road to the cross, right? Before the garden. You know, he was crying out to his Father. And this is John 12 and verse 27. But he saw the road that he was about to take. And he said, John 12, 27, now is my soul troubled. Now, for Jesus to say that, that must have been some really, his soul must have been facing some heaviness and some battles, right, in his feelings and in his emotions. Now is my soul troubled, but what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause I came unto this hour. You know, and in one sense, that's comforting to us because sometimes we really can struggle in our soul and we say, man, I am just not in victory or something. There's something wrong with me. But, you know, when you look at our Savior and the fight that he had a troubled soul, but he learned to overcome. He learned to get the victory in that area. And sometimes we go through troubling situations and our soul is troubled and we say, Lord, am I in defeat? You know, am I defeated because of this? Well, the Lord experienced that same thing, but he just had to look at his Father and say, well, Father, you've chosen me for this pathway and you're going to cause me to overcome. So I'm just going to trust in you. You know, even Jesus faced that discouragement and he probably felt overwhelmed by it, even to the point where he said, Father, you know, save me from this hour. But yet I know this is why I was sent to earth. This is why I said, here am I, send me. And he did it. And then there's another instance where we see him in the garden. Now, this is just before he was taken and led to the cross. And this is in Mark 14 and verse 34. And here's another expression of his heart. In Mark 14:34, it says, and he said unto them, unto his disciples, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Stay with me and watch with me. You know, help me. You know, basically he's telling his disciples, man, my soul is so heavy, I feel like dying. Would you stay with me? He wanted them to encourage him and be a support. And, you know, at times when someone is going through something, you know, they just want people around. They don't want someone to come and preach at them and say, here's a verse for you, right? They just want someone who's not discouraged just to be with them and uphold them, to pray with them. And that's what Jesus was saying. His soul was so heavy, he felt like he was going to die. That was the fight that he had to face. and his disciples were there with him. Of course, that bite was so big they couldn't take it and they just fell asleep. But you know, that's why the picture of the victory of Jesus is so complete. Because you think, well, yeah, he didn't just defeat death. He didn't just get the keys of hell. But he's an example to us of someone who got the victory in his soul. When he was so discouraged, he felt like dying. Now, I've faced some discouragement in my life, but not to the point where I'm unto death. You know, he was sorrowful unto death. But yet, maybe there's some who have faced this sorrow just because of the things they've gone through in life. But what Jesus wants us to know is that he has already been there. And he's already gotten the victory. And, you know, we know that we're going to face sorrow and we're going to face heaviness in our soul. You know, that's just kind of a given. We've already been there and the Lord's hopefully helped us to overcome and so forth. And maybe we'll face it again. But Jesus wants us to know that he cares about our soul. And he overcame in his soul. And so, you know, we'll face many kinds of sorrow. But we can turn to the one who also experienced this and overcame. And he can give us the strength to overcome. And you know, what is encouraging is when you read the scriptures, you realize that the Lord cares about our soul. He doesn't just care about our eternal being, but he cares about our feelings, how we feel. He cares that we're feeling triumphant, that we're feeling like an overcomer. Sometimes we, you know, we're like, well, I want to be an overcomer, but I sure don't feel like one today. But God wants us to have that victory also in our soul. You know, in Psalm 94, here's the psalmist is kind of describing how the Lord preserved him when the enemy was attacking him. And the attack was so bad in Psalm 94. In verse 17, he said, "Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence." That means he was like a candle that was about to be snuffed out, right? His soul just could not take it anymore. Whatever he was going through, it was just, he was about at the end. Maybe you've kind of felt like Jesus in the garden and he just couldn't take it anymore. But unless the Lord had been my help, that would have been my end. And so he's implying the Lord came and met with me and he gave me victory in my soul so that I could keep going, so that I could overcome. I didn't give up. And we see that in verse 19, just two verses later. He said, "In the multitude of my thoughts," and we can imagine what those thoughts were, the effect that had in his soul. He said, "But in the multitude of those thoughts within me, I found your comforts. Your comfort delighted my soul." You know, that's what God did in this psalmist. We don't really know who was writing this. There's not a title, not many clues for it. But yet, you know, whether it was David or someone else, they were going through it and they were heavy. Maybe even unto death. He didn't know if he's going to make it. But the Lord met him and comforted him and lifted his soul up. You know, that the Lord wants to be a comforter. You know, and comfort is something we feel in our soul. In fact, you know, he cares so much about this area of our being that he gave himself a name. And Peter tells us what his name is. And this is in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. One of the names of the Lord, you know, we know a lot of his names, right? He's our healer. He's our strength. He's our savior. But in 1 Peter 2:25, it says, for you were a sheep going astray, but now you are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. He is a shepherd that cares for our soul. He cares for our eternal well-being, but yet he cares for how we're feeling. You know, he cares if we're discouraged and he wants to lift us up and strengthen us in that area. He's the shepherd of our soul. You know, another psalm, Psalm 97, you don't have to turn there, but Psalm 97:10, it says, "He preserves the soul of his saints." Right? He wants to preserve us in trouble and in difficulty. Another psalm, in Psalm 107 and verse 9, it says, "He satisfies the longing soul. And he fills the hungry soul with goodness." And so he wants to shepherd us. He wants to keep our soul from harm. from the enemy coming in and troubling us and discouraging us and, you know, bringing us down. I'm glad he's the shepherd of our soul. He cares about how we feel. He wants to bring us into victory because there are things that trouble us, right? As we've experienced trouble, not just in the natural, but we've experienced trouble in our soul. In fact, Peter warns us that there's things that we can do that will start a war, and not just in the spiritual realm, right? But within our hearts, within our soul. And in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, he warns us about this. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Now the problem with that is it doesn't just invite the enemy to come and just, you know, oppose us, but it invites the enemy to come and be able to touch our feelings and our emotions and make us downcast and turn our hearts, you know, and turn our desires so that we struggle in our walk with the Lord. And it's interesting how Peter is beseeching us here, right? He's not just saying saints, you know, or beloved. He says, "I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." That's kind of an interesting thought. Basically, he's saying, you know, we are travelers. We're on a journey. And when we get involved in the things of this world, the fleshly desires and so forth, what they're doing is they're tying us down. And they're causing our heart to be joined to things in this world, and it will cause us trouble in our soul. It will stir things up that will cause us to, you know, that when the Lord's leading us this way and our heart's joined to that way, it's just going to cause turmoil in our soul. And so he beseeches you, don't let those things get attached into our hearts, because they will affect our soul. They will start a war. Have you ever had a war in your heart? I take it we all have, right? At some point, where we've had some battle going on in our heart because we want something, or, you know, we desire something, or there's something going on, and the Lord's saying, "No, I want this for you. I want to bring you here." And there's a battle, and no one likes that. Right? And so that's the danger of allowing our soul to seek after. It's what the King James says, fleshly lusts, but really it's desires that will cause us to fall short of the glory of God. All right? Sometimes the Lord identifies things in our life and we're surprised. It's like, "Lord, what's wrong with that?" And in reality, sometimes there's nothing wrong, but the Lord is saying, it'll cause you to fall short of the glory of God. And, you know, we say, "Well, Lord, I don't think it's that bad." And then that's when the war starts. The battle starts. Right? And when we allow those other desires to come in, It's that fighting against the Spirit of God. And no one likes to be at war. It's not pleasant. All right? But when we put those desires on the cross, that's what brings peace into our soul. You know, and so I want to look for just a moment. You know, we've seen the importance of the soul and the dangers there. But I want to look at what can keep our soul. What can preserve us? Because that's what's most important, is that the Lord can preserve our soul and we can be kept in victory, because that's our goal. You know, we don't want our soul to rule us, right? Sometimes you can go through a season where your soul is in charge, and, right, trying to think straight is not an option because your soul is just churned up within you. But the Lord wants to bring us to that place of victory when we face the storms of life, right? Just like Jesus when he was in the garden, if his soul had been the deciding vote, things would have been different, right? But it was his spirit that made that decision. And, you know, we're so grateful for that. And he wants to teach us so that we can respond in the same way. But in Psalm 131, you know, there's a psalm that David wrote, and it's entitled A Psalm of Ascending. It's a psalm of going up, right? And so Peter talked about we are journeying. We're pilgrims and strangers, right? As Abraham was a stranger in a strange land, right? That's in a sense where we are. And so David is writing this psalm. Here we're ascending, going up into, you know, to the holy city. And in that context, he says this, Psalm 131, verses 1 through 2. He says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, mine eyes are not lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters in things that are too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. And there's this thought, is that if we're going to go up higher, we're going to be those who ascend. There's a key in doing that, and it's being able to quiet our soul. Right? And that's something that David must have learned in all of those years of being, you know, on the run, where his boss is seeking his life, right? The anointed one who's supposed to be chosen of God is the one who's trying to kill him. And that was probably pretty hard for him to understand at first as a young man, and what turmoil he must have been. But in doing that and in following the plan of God for his life, he learned, Lord, I'm going to quiet my soul. You know, he probably, that was, you know, when he first started out, that was just probably way too much for him to understand and to think of, to comprehend, right? I mean, I don't know how to express it, but it would have been like Pastor Bailey turning on us when we were just trying to do what's right. I mean, that would have been the same. And how could we have understood what that would have felt like, you know? And so he was going in that way, and something he learned, I'm going to quiet my soul. There's things that are too high for me, right? And so, you know, he probably had a lot of questions. Why do I have to be persecuted like this? Why is Saul trying to take my life? Why did he choose me out of the sheepfolds? I don't deserve this. I'd rather be back with the sheep, right? But yet here he was. And there were things that he realized, I just have to submit to this in my life and stop trying to figure it out. I have to let it go and just walk with the Lord. So I'm going to get a hold of my soul. You know, and he says, basically, Lord, I don't know why this happened to me, but I'm going to get a hold of my soul and I'm going to trust in you as a little child would trust. And that's where true strength and greatness is found, right? Didn't Jesus say, if you want to enter my kingdom, you have to be like a little child? Because a child, it's not necessarily the weakness and inability, it's the trust. A child will trust. If daddy says this, okay. Dad's never wrong. Right? That we trust in him. You know, and so there's that aspect that we have to learn in situations where the storm is raging. Lord, this is too high for me to understand, and so I'm just going to trust in you. I'm going to meet with you. David had another famous verse along the same lines, and this is one that Pastor Bailey used to quote often to us, right, when he was talking about the soul. And this is in Psalm 42 and verse 5. Psalm 42 and verse 5 says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And so we face situations where our soul is overwhelmed and we're cast down. Kind of like a, you know, you get the picture of kind of a roly-poly sheep gets on its back and it just has no ability to get back up, right? It's just stuck there. But sometimes that's a good description of our soul, right? Where we are just cast down and there's nothing anyone can say, right? There's nothing anyone can do. Sometimes people say, just snap out of it. Has anyone ever said that to you when you're kind of discouraged? And it's like, boy, thank you for that gem of wisdom. Snap out of it. Why didn't I think of that? It's because our soul is in a place where it's impossible for us to get back on our feet. The only thing that's going to save us is if we can get a hold of that and look to the Lord and allow him to come and turn us back, you know, the right way. And so David, he must have experienced this many times in his life. He was in this place. My soul is so downcast, I cannot get up. Yet, I've been here before. And if I look to the Lord, he'll come and he'll set me aright. And so I'm going to trust in him. So I'm going to keep my mouth shut and I'm going to stop thrashing around and I'm going to wait for him to come. Maybe I'll cry out to him to come. He'll come and he'll set me aright. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, because he's my help. his countenance. I'm going to see his face, and he's going to be my help. And so that was his solution. You know, he spoke to his soul, don't give up. I'm going to yet praise the Lord. I'm going to taste and see that he's good in this life. And so I'm going to hope in God. And, you know, we can go through a lot of turmoil and sorrow, sometimes more than we bargain for, right? Sometimes you get a picture of the Christian life and it's supposed to be one, you know, we're supposed to be victorious. But yet there's also times that we see it and we can't avoid those pictures in David's life and in these other psalmists and great men and women of being downcast. And we experience things of sorrow. Sometimes it's sorrow upon sorrow. But yet what God wants to show us is that we can have hope in him and that we can love him with all of our soul by meeting him, that he wants to meet us in those storms. You know, these beautiful words of David, they can be powerful. You know, if we learn to practice them in our life, you know, sometimes to experience God's abundance, his fruitfulness, we have to experience the opposite, right? That corn of wheat has to go into the ground and die before it can bear much fruit, right? And so we experience the opposite. Sometimes we experience the sorrow and distress and difficulty, and our soul is feeling it. Sometimes it's because of our own doing, and sometimes it's just because God's leading us through that valley of the shadow, you know, and we're struggling in our soul. But yet, God is leading us in that song of ascent. You know, he's leading us in that pathway that's higher. And so, you know, if we can learn to meet God in that song, if we can learn to meet him in that journey, and, you know, sometimes it's avoiding those things that are going to cause that war in our soul. That's the number one thing. But yet, we know we can't avoid these times. But yet, if we can respond in a way, and that's really the key. The whole key is in our response. Lord, I'm going to just try and do my best to quiet myself as a little child and just trust in you because you're going to bring me out. You're not going to leave me or forsake me. That's your promise, that you're going to lead me out of this. And so I'm just going to trust in you. Maybe I'll see even sing a few praise songs to you because you're going to bring me out. You know, not get caught up with things that are too high for us. Sometimes we think we know quite a bit, but sometimes it's just too high for us and we have to say, no, I won't understand that till the other side of heaven. Or maybe a lot later on, God will give me some perspective, right? But yet we can yield to God and put our hope in him, you know. And I realize that loving the Lord with all of our hearts, sometimes you have a different kind of connotation. It's like, well, I have to love him and feel a certain way. But sometimes loving the Lord with all your heart is just going through it and not giving up. Going through a situation and not despairing, but hoping in God and enduring to the end, you know, as Jesus did with his Father. Because we can meet him as the shepherd of our soul. He wants to care for us. He wants to renew us, to restore us, to heal us, to bring us new life. And he can do that as we meet with him, as David did and as the psalmist did. And, you know, all of those men and women of old met the shepherd of their soul and they were redeemed and, you know, renewed and refreshed so that we can taste and see that he's good in this life. And Father, we pray that, Lord. That's our cry, Lord, that we recognize that as we go through this life, Lord, sometimes our soul can get downcast, Lord. Sometimes it gets heavy. There's a war in our hearts, Lord. Sometimes it's because of our own doing. But, Lord, yet we look to you. We trust in you. Thank you that you care for our soul, that you're the shepherd of our soul, O God. Lord, would you lead us, Lord, to victory in this area. Lord, that we can even become strong in this area, that when we face these trials, O God, that we can look to you, that we can quiet ourselves and trust in the living God, and that you would bring us, Lord, and that we can even learn to trust in you, that you'll bring swift victory in this area. Strengthen us in our souls, O God, that we can love you with all of our soul, we pray. We just thank you, Lord. We worship you and we bless you and we trust in you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.